Well, good morning and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU Public Media. I'm Tom Flanagan. Before we get underway, a reminder, you are always welcome to be part of the conversation wherever and whichever that may happen to flow. You can give us a call at 850-414-1234. We also have an email address for you, perspectives@wfsu.org. And before we do begin the conversation, we want to have what is known in the industry as a conversation starter, although in many instances, what you're about to hear has often brought conversation to a screeching halt. And what you are about to hear is going to be a clip from an upcoming presentation that we will have in Tallahassee in FSU's Ruby Diamond Concert Hall coming up in just a little bit. We will play that for you as soon as we can get that interfaced with the rest of the situation. We have actually a double bill concert that is going to be happening. And while the guys on the other side of the glass get that worked out, we'll go around and introduce our panel to you, because this is a really landmark performance. Performances, we should say, because it is plural. It's going to be happening on two occasions at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall. On the 30th of this month, which is a Saturday, starting at 8 in the evening, it will be the Ode to Joy, which will feature the Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra, joined by the Morehouse College Glee Club and Florida A&M Concert Choir. And we will hear some segments of that a little bit later on. Then on Sunday afternoon, March 31st, starting at 3:30 in the afternoon in Ruby Diamond also, the TSO will be reunited with the Morehouse College Glee Club. The Florida A&M Concert Choir returns for the Ode to Understanding Project, which is organized in conjunction with the Village Square and Leon County Government and will feature an incredible new composition by Joel Thompson entitled Seven Last Words of the Unarmed. There's going to be a community conversation following that performance, which will include Thompson actually talking about the work. And the afternoon will conclude with a reprise, if you will, of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony and the Ode to Joy. To talk about all this on this morning's Perspective, let's first say hi to Byron Green, Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra board member. And full disclosure, you're also part of our community council, Byron.
Yes, I am.
You are a busy guy.
All the time. Glad to do it.
We're so glad to have you here with us today. Hey, we also have to say hi to Liz Joyner, who joins us here. It's been a while since we've done some Village Square stuff, Liz, although you guys were right next door in TV for the last Our Town conversation.
We were. It's always fun to be with you.
It is always a joy to be with you, too. In fact, we'll have an Ode to Joy before too terribly long, I think, here. Brittany Smith, Leon County Community and Media Relations guru, without whom we would not be as plugged into everything that's going on in Leon County government. Brittany, it's so good to see you, too.
You too, Tom. You're too kind.
Ah, and we could not do this at all without Mandy Stringer, the CEO of the Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra, without whom all this certainly would not be possible. And Mandy, let's, before we hear some segments from what we will be enjoying here come weekend a week, how did this whole idea of an Ode to Joy / Ode to Understanding concert duo happen? How did this concept emerge?
So just let me start by saying thank you for having us on today. I actually went back and looked at my calendar because I wanted to be accurate in saying this. This has been a 20-month-long process thus far. The first time it came to us as the symphony was in July of 2017. So I read about this piece of music, Seven Last Words of the Unarmed, in one of these geeky symphony director magazines that I read, and immediately looked up the piece and started researching it and wanted to see if it would be possible for us to perform it. So here we are 20 months later, and hand in hand with the county and Village Square, and the project has come to fruition. But it's been quite a thing, so we're really excited about it.
Well, we're going to start off there on the evening of Saturday the 30th at Ruby Diamond, starting at 8 o'clock, and that's going to be kind of a more straight-ahead sort of presentation of Beethoven's Ninth, and then the final movement, the fourth movement, which is the Ode to Joy.
Yes, absolutely. And on the first half, the Morehouse College Glee Club and FAMU Concert Choirs will perform a cappella on their own. They just will not be performing the Joel Thompson piece.
Okay, and that will be taking place then on Saturday at 3:30.
Saturday at 8 p.m.
Oh, at 8 p.m. Okay, I'm sorry. Sunday is going to be the Ode to Understanding, then, is when you really get into the community conversation part of this.
Right. So when we program this piece, Seven Last Words of the Unarmed, which takes the seven last words of African-American men who have been killed by authority figures and sets them to music. So that will start the concert. It's only a 15-minute long piece, but it really, really is, packs a punch. It's very, very powerful. So we thought the best anecdote to that, and also I feel like in a way the piece kind of, it breaks you. It just breaks your spirit. It's a very dark piece. It's a piece of lamentation. So we wanted to then build the audience back up following that, and the obvious choice to do that would be Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which is the ultimate expression of brotherly love and uniting people.
So you got to have that element of hope in there. And that this is a little edgy, Byron, for the TSO, because it's, I don't want to say that the Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra is a perennially feel-good kind of performance group, but it is almost universally uplifting and positive, and you have that real joy, if we can use that term here. You're getting into a lot of social commentary, a lot of controversial stuff. This is a bit of a stretch for the organization.
It is indeed a bit of a stretch. It is not your ordinary performance by the Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra, but we feel that we have a responsibility to our community to share all trains of thought and bring attention to some of the things that are happening in our world. And one of the best ways to do that is through music. And I think this is a great piece to do this too. And going along with what we see in Tallahassee in terms of efforts to bring different ethnicities together, racial relationships, we have a number of activities that are going on, including a piece for recognizing lynchings in Leon County. All of those things, to me, go hand in hand to help us take a step towards each other. And so I see this as one of those seminal pieces, activities of this year that will help us to set the tone and start bringing people together.
Well, when it comes to taking controversial and sometimes contentious issues and trying to reach some kind of middle ground, that has been the guiding principle of the Village Square, Liz Joyner, since you got the whole concept together and founded these many years ago. Is that what attracted you to this entire thing? This would be an opportunity to expand not just a community conversation by adding some additional elements, but also giving it really a lead-in and then a denouement that was really going to be, would bring everyone back together again.
Yeah, this is actually the fourth year in partnership with Leon County Government that we've presented a program called, it's an annual series called Created Equal, a conversation about race and founding ideals in our hometown. So this was really consistent with what we had done year to year in that project, in that it joins a piece of art, a piece of performance art, with a real conversation. You know, in a lot of ways, when we open our hearts up with art and something that has that kind of effect that this symphony will, it leaves us in a place where we're more open to having the very real conversations that, you know, frankly, in our perspective, we're lacking now. Social media has made it so that when we have controversial tragedies happen, we head away from each other. We immediately go to our online angry tribes and we talk to people who already agree with us instead of seeking understanding, which is exactly what we ought to be doing. So that's what our project is about, and that's why the TSO's project was so interesting and appealing to us.
And for you, Brittany Smith, as far as Leon County government is concerned, again, this is kind of stretching out. We have a tendency to, you know, good stuff like, oh, how to have a more sustainable community and how to do more things better and all, but this is kind of stepping into it just a little. How did the county get involved in this?
Well, As Liz mentioned, Leon County and Village Square has hosted the Created Equal event since 2016, and the county's always focused on issues that matter most to our community, and this event has continuously increased in attendance. We've had as low as 300 the first year, but last year over 600 people attended. So it's a topic that's important. It's a topic that our community cares about, and it's a perfect opportunity for the county to continue to serve as a catalyst and a convener of people, as Byron mentioned, of different backgrounds, different ideals. And as Liz mentioned, it's an opportunity to bring people together instead of us going in our own little silos and growing farther apart.
It was remarkable to me in the wake of what had occurred at the synagogue in Pittsburgh, how suddenly you had the entire community coming together out of Temple Israel in a circumstance that for many communities was also a divisive kind of thing. And instead, this community responded in a, I don't know if we want to call it a typical Tallahassee fashion, but where you had an overflow crowd at Temple where they actually had to remove some of the subdivisions within the building to get everybody in just to sit down and say, okay, where do we go from here? And it seems like this is an opportunity to carry on that same kind of spirit.
And that's really exactly what we should be doing in the face of tragedy. We should be gathering, and we should be talking and having real conversations. We don't have to agree. It's all about having the conversation and keep on talking. That's how you do it.
And we'll keep on talking after the upcoming break right here on Perspectives as we give a preview of next weekend's. This is the 30th and the 31st, Saturday and Sunday at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, the Ode to Joy, and then on Sunday, the Ode to Understanding. And we'll continue that conversation and bring you some musical excerpts as well right after this. There's only one other composition that is perhaps more recognizable than that. It's by the same guy, and that is the opening of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. This is Beethoven's Ninth. And we couldn't have had a Ninth without a Fifth, Mandy Stringer.
That's right. And also, this is a good chance for me to plug our concert coming up next January, where we will be performing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. But in every which way, Beethoven was a groundbreaker, and this is just another example of that. This is the first time that a chorus was added to a symphony orchestra, and it was everybody knows that Beethoven was completely deaf when he composed and then conducted this piece. And the orchestra members had to actually turn him to the audience for him to see the applause because he thought it was a failure. Now it's one of the most, recognizable pieces in all of orchestral repertoire. So it's really an incredible story.
And the other thing about this is it was actually used as a logo for the National Broadcasting Company, NBC, way, way back in the day when they would kick off their special public affairs and news programming. You had those initial parts of the second movement that would just come blasting out the speaker, and you knew something big was going to happen.
The innovative timpani part that we were just speaking about.
Yeah, it was you had to be a virtuoso to pull that, and you still do, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
So, well, anyway, so give us a preview. That is going to be then on Saturday, starting at 8, Ruby Diamond Concert Hall. We will have not only the Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra, but later on in the piece, and we'll hear that a bit later on, too, on this air as well, we're going to have the Morehouse College Glee Club. How did they get involved in all this?
So this is a great story of networking. I have a friend who worked for the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. We knew we needed a large chorus to sing the work. I wasn't quite sure how we were going to pull that off in Tallahassee because it's a difficult work, the Joel Thompson piece. And so I have a friend who worked for the Atlanta Symphony, and through him, he connected me with folks at Morehouse. He said, you should get Morehouse to come down and sing with you. I approached Mark Butler. Obviously, we wanted FAMU involved, but he only has 20 men in his chorus, and we needed more like 60 to 80. So one thing led to another, and they've agreed to come down and sing with us, and I couldn't be more thrilled to join these two HBCUs on stage for the first time.
That is going to be, talk about a wall of sound. Oh, my gosh. And Byron, that is one of the larger choral additions, I think, that the TSO has had, isn't it?
I believe so, at least in my short time with the TSO.
We found ourselves in an unusual situation of having, this is really unusual for orchestras. We had 80 men willing to sing, and we had, you know, no females. So we had to recruit a bunch of females from the community to sing the Beethoven. So it's going to be, it'll be part volunteer chorus and then part these two universities.
Hey, you community chorus guys, get over here. Come on. Again, that's a Tallahassee solution that many other communities would not be able to duplicate. But what does this particular music bring to the occasion, especially when you get into that healing component of in the wake of what we're going to be talking about on Sunday afternoon, Liz, where you have the community conversation following the seven words of unarmed people that are just going to be washing over people?
Yeah, I think so. After the piece, we'll have a conversation on stage immediately afterwards that will be facilitated by Leon County Sheriff Walt McNeil, who is both a black man and a law enforcement officer. And it will include composer Joel Thompson, TSO board member Patrick Slevin, and FSU Police Chief David Perry. So we'll have that conversation first, and then we will have the experience of Ode to Joy. And then we'll be inviting the audience to join us to break bread, to meet the Morehouse College and FAMU students, to talk with them and the law enforcement officers we've asked to join us as a community, as the neighbors that we are. And our experience at the Village Square is that when you put yourself face-to-face with people, it changes everything. And that's really what I think will be transcendent and important about this. It's important that communities turn towards each other in crisis and tragedy. And to be able to do that, you have to have a civic muscle. You have to be practiced at it. You can't wait until something happens. You have to do things like what we're doing on Sunday.
We have a message from Laurie, originally called in, but she had to run, so she left this behind, wondering if there are still any tickets to the concert available. Any idea, Mandy?
There are a few scattered around, singles, for Saturday evening, but on Sunday we're down to about 300, so we're 75% sold. But there are tickets available still. Don't give up. There is always a ticket.
Okay. And don't listen to the scalpers. No, that is one good thing. We have a pretty good ticket control here when it comes to Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra performances on that.
Right. And, you know, there are always people that end up not showing up at the last minute, and we hate to have an empty seat. So I encourage anyone who wants to hear either of these performances to show up, and we will, by hook or by crook, find a place for you.
Just as the overall feeling of the Ninth Symphony is hopeful, hope springs eternal, there will still be some tickets on this. And looking ahead, Brittany Smith, when it comes to these sorts of things, the ongoing involvement with the Village Square, special performances like the one that we're talking about right now, this is kind of part and parcel. I know the direction of the Board of County Commissioners of Leon County and the upper administration. Are you looking for other opportunities to involve the community in these kinds of discussions ahead of whatever problems are going to come? Because we know they're going to happen here at some point.
Oh, absolutely. It's part of our board meeting this past December. One of the strategic initiatives was to engage citizens in a more in ways that they would like to be engaged in, more valuable ways and more engaging ways. And so any other opportunities for organizations. I don't want people to feel as though the county, like, stay away from government. We want to engage. We've been engaging with Village Square as a partner since 2014 and other organizations that we reach out to and work with to reach our citizens and reach other local nonprofits and businesses that we can partner with. It always ends up being a great opportunity.
Yeah, I noticed that with a new dynamic over down the street from y'all over at City Hall, they're now moving their next Tallahassee City Commission meeting off-site for the first time, at least in my memory. It will not be at City Hall. They're moving it to Gilchrist Elementary School. Mm-hmm. Coming up for their next one. So who knows, there may be some opportunities there. And the Our Town that you had over here at WFSU, Liz, that was a great chance for people to get engaged with their elected officials up close and personal, too, to talk about some of these sometimes really sticky issues.
Yeah, you know, it really is not an optional thing to, in a democracy, in a healthy democracy, to spend time talking with people that you normally wouldn't. And I think that the annual town hall, that was our seventh annual town hall. And we have hosted it in cooperation with Leon County, the City of Tallahassee, Leadership Tallahassee, and Tallahassee Democrat now. In difficult times to have conversations, frankly. There have been times when, we've kind of wondered, is this going to go off? And it does, because we are now in the habit of gathering. We are now in the habit of having the conversations that we need to have. And, in so many ways, factors that are bigger than us, that are outside of our community, have made it more challenging to do that. It's not optional. We've got to do it. And, you know, one of our philosophies is also it doesn't have to be boring. It should be interesting and kind of fun, which is one of the reasons why we almost always have food involved.
I just wanted to say that I think that, you know, this work in particular with Joel is a representation of trying to find some sense of meaning out of life. And I think all of us, all humans at some point, are looking for meaning out of life. And I think he's to be commended because he's an example to a group of people to show that out of, you know, despair, pain, and chaos, there are ways to address this and in ways that are not deconstructive. He's put forth an effort. This effort represents that search for meaning, in my opinion, but it is appropriately partnered with Beethoven because the ninth is also similar in that regard. But I just think that this is a way that Joel has responded to the crises, if you will, and talking about having communication and conversation. But his response was through music, and it shows others that, you know, the response doesn't have to be violent or otherwise, but there can be a constructive way to wrestle with it, to grapple with it, to try to find meaning and snatch meaning out of chaos. So I think this is a really great effort that we're putting forth for the Tallahassee community.
And I'll add that he's very excited about what we're doing here. He did not compose this piece with the intention of it ever being heard. And then just through a series of events from friends, the piece kind of came into the public sphere. And we will be the second orchestra in the country to perform it. And so he's very excited about this conversation piece that's going to be led by Village Square. And it's just very honored that our community has taken his art and is using it as a catalyst for conversation.
Well, I have to extend kudos to everyone who was involved in organizing this, because so often you have an experience of a profound artistic event and it leaves you maybe drenched in sweat or emotionally drained and you have no one to talk to about it.
You're going to have 1,200 people to talk to about it next week.
This is great. What a wonderful way to do that and to bring that entire audience together. Well, what did you think? How did you bounce off of this? What did it mean to you? What can we all learn from this? And then to have that synthesis and then pop the Ninth Symphony and the Ode to Joy at them. Boy, what a way to go.
it's going to be a performance for the ages. Sure.
Well, we had talked about tickets before, but if, for those folks, let's just say hypothetically, which I think is going to be more realistic than hypothetical real soon, no tickets may be available, but people can still be part of this, right?
That's right, because we'll be streaming it live on WFSU.org. So, yeah, if you can tune in on your computer or your phone at 3:30 on Sunday and watch it live.
There we go. A live stream, modern technology. It is a fantastic thing. If you want to be part of the conversation, you are always more than welcome, of course, to be part of our Perspectives family by participating at 850-414-1234. You can drop us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Mandy Stringer and Byron Green, both affiliated with the Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra. Liz Joyner from the Village Square, and Brittany Smith from Leon County on the upcoming double performance taking place at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall on Saturday evening, 8 p.m. March 30th, and then Sunday afternoon, the 31st, 3:30, also at Ruby Diamond, where there will be the performances of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony and also the incredible new composition by Joel Thompson entitled Seven Last Words of the Unarmed. And on Sunday, when that is taking place, you also have that aforementioned panel discussion involving the entire community. Something that Sheriff McNeil said, this is at the dedication of this portion down here of West Orange Avenue being renamed in honor of C.K. Steele, the Memorial Highway. When he then, Officer McNeil, joined the Tallahassee Police Department in 1979, there was essentially a very figurative and literal blacklist, which he found to be somewhat off-putting, the list of troublemakers, primarily African Americans, who these are the ones the police had to look out for. Because they were going to cause trouble. And that struck him, of course, as in many different ways. And he will be bringing, I'm sure, some of those experiences to that conversation that he has with Joel Thompson on Sunday. And in the midst of all this reason for concern, still an acknowledgement probably of how far we have come in this community. And sometimes we don't perhaps acknowledge that. Where so many other places in this country were dealing with situations of really far more serious impact than we have had. I'm not saying we have dodged a literal or figurative bullet, but there are a lot of places that have not been able to wrestle with this the way that we have. Liz, what do you think?
You know, I think that you can, if you ignore these conversations, which it is easy to do, it's easy to want to avoid difficult conversations. I think you can get to the point where you're kind of too far gone as a community to be able to have them. And I think that's why it's such an important time to have, you know, events like this that allow us to gather as neighbors. I think that we're living in a time when things could get worse. And there is no way to address it except between neighbors like us in hometowns like this one.
And how do we reach out to get more people involved? Byron, you can only get a certain number in Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, and even with the live streaming, your audience is going to be limited. How do you build upon this, do you think, and kind of keep it going?
Well, I think the efforts of Village Square is an example of how do we keep this going. How do we keep the conversation alive, whether it's formal or organically driven? But I think having more activities sponsored through the Village Square or whatever the county can bring to the table and provide outlets for these types of discussions to happen. I think the more that we talk, the better everyone is. There's you talked about the blacklist, and I think about, you know, just the fact that for African Americans in this country, you know, since the day we landed, so to speak, or were brought here, we've always been in a position of not being wanted or felt that we were not wanted or not good enough, or there's always been some act of degradation. And so we are very sensitive. And I think sometimes that is lost because that's generational. It passes down. It's still with us today, and we see it manifest in many different manners. But I think that's one of the reasons why we have to keep having conversations, as Liz has been talking about, so that people get an understanding of why sometimes we react, we as African Americans react a certain way when things happen, because there's a psychological scar, I believe. Now, of course, I'm playing, you know, armchair psychologist here, but I think there is some validity to that. And so having performances by the TSO to take on those types of, to elevate those types of issues so that they do become a part of the conversation and the conscience of our community are wonderful ways to keep these things going, and hopefully they live on after the events take place.
That's a terrific, terrific point. We're going to take another quick time out, and then I think we have something else queued up that we will be sharing with you on the other side of that break right here on our very special perspectives here on WFSU Public Media. As we look forward to next weekend, that is the 30th and the 31st, the double performance at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, and we'll be right back. Know that the Ode to Joy in the original German, and Mandy Stringer, we'll leave it up to you to do at least a little translation of that. What exactly are they singing?
Well, they're talking about all men becoming brothers and literally are singing, "Be embraced, you millions, the kiss for the entire world. Brothers beyond the stars must a loving father live," and uniting all under one banner of brotherhood.
What a terrific, and you couple that with that incredible soaring melody, those interlocking harmonies, it is a brilliant, brilliant piece of music, and that is going to be available for your listening pleasure, and certainly rumination coming up on the 30th and the 31st at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall. To the phones we go. Reed's been hanging on very patiently. Hello, Mr. Reed, how you doing, sir?
Concept.
Ain't it though?
Word for the day in regard to your guest's previous comment before the break. Word for the day, sensitivity. What do you think?
I think that really captures it. Boy, you got a lot of nodding heads around this table here, Reed.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to give a shout out to Mandy and the entire TSO organization, because I tell you what, man, I was not that interested in TSO until we got a showman to run it. Darko, he's hilarious and incredible, and I have since his arrival in town, I have enjoyed several performances of the TSO. And, man, we are blessed. We are blessed. This group is worthy of any place, as far as I'm concerned.
Boy, I think you really hit the nail on that proverbial head, Reed, because how many other communities the size of Tallahassee would give a particular part of the anatomy to have anything equivalent to the Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra?
I can't fathom it. I can't fathom it.
We're very, very, very fortunate.
Thank you for the comment.
Good job.
Thank you so much, Reed. Always a joy to hear from you, sir. Speaking of Ode to Joy there, Mr. Mahoney.
Can I comment on that? He mentioned the word meditation, I believe. What did he say? Sensitivity. And I have the letter that Joel wrote for our program book that will be in the program book on the weekend of the March 31st concert. And I just wanted to quote this because I think it speaks to that. So he based the piece, Seven Last Words Unto the Unarmed, on a piece written by Joseph Haydn, Seven Last Words of Christ, a liturgical setting. And he says, liturgical settings of the Seven Last Words of Christ are not attempting to demonize the Roman soldiers that orchestrated the crucifixion, but they are designed to stir within the listener an empathy towards the suffering of Jesus. Similarly, this piece is not an anti-police protest work. It is really a meditation on the lives of these black men and an effort to focus on their humanity.
Which I think points out that everything old is new again, that these are concepts that are not just peculiar to this particular part of the 21st century. These tap into reservoirs of pain and suffering and exaltation and everything else that we've been dealing with, you know, as long as we've been around, pretty much.
I've got another word to add to Reed's, and that's humility. It's something that's largely lacking from our civic conversation. It's something that, you know, we seem to be assuming that there's nothing we can learn from someone else who's had a different life experience. And I think that if we can find our humility again, we'll be able to walk towards other people that we've been, that we've found too much distance from.
Well said.
Yeah, and that's part, I know that what you deal with at all levels of local government too, Brittany, is that you have certainly, I apologies to Gary Yordan here, but the usual suspects, people who are always involved, who are getting out and locked into different types of activities and public service and all of that kind of thing. But you got to keep kind of pushing that envelope to get more people into that circle. That's tough.
It is. We've done a lot to promote the event to different target groups, organizations. We want to make sure that everyone is invited and they understand that this event is for everyone. It's not for a particular person. I've said it before. Mandy's heard me say it, but it's for anyone that wants to understand what someone else has to go through or what someone else that doesn't look like them may experience. So it's not just about, this isn't for me because I can't relate. We want you to come and we want you to be able to relate, but it's definitely tough to make sure that it gets out to all audiences. But we've been working hard to, in every medium we can think of, print, digital, radio, everything, we've been making sure that we get the word out about this great event.
Yeah, and breaking down those political barriers, Liz, which seems to be kind of the touchstone to a larger degree than probably I've ever seen, where you can pigeonhole someone and, oh, you are this, therefore either everything you think and say has legitimacy or no.
That's right. It's binary, right? It's black and white in terms of, seeing people in two-dimensional ways. Every human is very rich, and every experience is very different. And, you know, the other thing that's really interesting about this is there's lots of data that says that part of the reason for the deep problem that you're describing is that we're not in enough contact with people who are different than us. So it isn't necessarily that we disagree so much as it is that we need to spend time together. And that's what social media changes have taken away from us, and that's what neighbors have to do again. We need to commit ourselves to the act of gathering. And I also want to say, you know, Village Square is pretty unique in the country. TSO is, you know, we talked about what TSO brings to this community. I also wanted to say that, you know, Leon County has gotten many awards for their efforts to gather. And it is not easy work in times like this, but it's everything.
Yeah, and really it is what the future depends on.
It does.
As a society.
In every way, because none of the other things that we have to do can happen if we cannot tolerate each other. And to tolerate each other, we have to know each other.
And it's sort of a substitute for when I was growing up, literally, in fact, my hometown actually made it to Ripley's, believe it or not, if anyone remembers that. Deep, dark recesses of history. You had a little thing in the paper in the comic section. Ripley's, believe it or not, these most unbelievable things that would occur. And my little hometown had, at the same time, the most number of churches per capita and bars of any spot in the United States. There had to be a connection somewhere.
I can see it.
After you go to your first church on a Saturday night, you go to the other church on Sunday morning to repent. But everyone got together at the little corner bar. And it was usually a movable feast. People would, it was such a small town, they would move around. Hey, I'm tired of Perry's. Let's go over to Bill's tonight or whatever the thing. But you always met different people. And the discussions would flow along with the beer and shots and all of that. And there are even people who had opposing positions on politics or religion or anything else. Yeah, they'd get spirited in their discussion, but there was never any bloodshed, and they would usually leave arm in arm, somewhat unsteadily, but still, there would be no violence after this.
And that's very akin to sort of the classic American town hall, where people might throw a chair or two because they disagree, but ultimately they're in it together. That's what Tocqueville saw unique about American democracy when he visited us all those years ago from France, that we gather. And when we gather, we know people, and when we know people, we know them in more dimensions, and we find that we have some things in common.
And here, instead of the roaring jukebox in the corner, we have the Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra, the Morehouse Glee Club, and the Florida A&M Choir. How cool is that?
It's pretty awesome.
How have been rehearsals for this? That has to be an incredible experience just to see these organizations, these musical groups meld and mold their performance together, Mandy. That had to be something.
Well, it's going to be, it's going to be quite an weekend trying to pull it all together. Morehouse arrives here in Tallahassee on Friday, March 29th. And so they'll join forces with FAMU for the first time that evening.
That is not a long time to put this together.
I will tell you, a couple of weekends ago, I drove up to Atlanta because they did perform Seven Last Words of the Unarmed on their annual spring concert. And I wanted to touch base with them before they came to Tallahassee. And they've got it nailed. They sound fantastic. So it's just going to be a great performance.
Again, looking forward to that. In case you're just joining us, we are talking about the upcoming performances. Saturday evening, March 30th, starting at 8, in FSU's Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, the Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra, being joined by the Morehouse Glee Club and the Florida A&M University Concert Choir for the Ode to Joy. And then on Sunday afternoon, March 31st, at 3:30, also in Ruby Diamond, the TSO, Morehouse College Glee Club, and Florida A&M Concert Choir return for the Ode to Understanding project, which is going to include, after the performance of Joel Thompson's Seven Last Words of the Unarmed, the panel discussion. And again, who are the principals on that one, Liz? It'll be lined up for that. We will have Joel Thompson, of course, himself, who will be talking about his work, but then helping to discuss that amidst the larger audience will be?
The facilitator is Sheriff Walt McNeil, composer Joel Thompson, Joel Thompson, TSO board member Patrick Slevin, and Perry, also TSO board member, Patrick Slevin.
Okay, and then Chief Perry from
FSU. Oh, yeah,
FSU.
Thank you. I didn't have my list up, obviously.
Yeah. As I throw it to you, take it, Liz. Sorry about that. But still, that if that's anything like the previous discussions that have come about as a result of the Village Squares delving into this very sticky situation. I keep thinking, God, 1954 was so long ago when we began to break this mold in this country. And we're still talking about this. Yeah. Byron, that's got to be distressing.
Well, it is, but there has been progress along the way. And so, you know, whatever we feel about our situation, you know, I always tell people I believe in the promise of America, and I think that is ever marching towards something better. One of the things that I feel about this particular presentation is that it is what I'm going to call soul music, and it's soul music because both the Ode to Joy and Joel Thompson's piece they grip the listener's soul right away, and they take us on a journey, but they leave us with hope for better humanity. So that's what I look forward to, and I hope that the audience will see the same thing and experience the same thing.
Again, reminding everyone that if you cannot be there in person, and tickets, from what Mandy tells us, may still be available out there, that it will be streamed on WFSU.org. We will have that live stream available and up for everyone to go. So what lies ahead for the TSO after this back-to-back double monstrosity here, man?
Rest.
So there's no rest for the weary. We have our gigantic Pops in the Park concert at Southwood at the end of April. And then our season finale is May 4th, and that will feature Hulse Planets. And we actually have some visuals that we're adding to that, NASA images that we've hired someone to come down and they choreograph it to go along with the music. So there's that. And now we've launched our 1920 season. So that's all up on the website. So we're just chugging along.
Okay. Are we going to see a Darko in a spacesuit or what's
the... He's pretty much up for anything. So we'll see.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, as Reed had pointed out, though, that certainly is. Now, Miriam Burns was an absolutely phenomenal conductor and music director for the TSO. Darko has taken it to the next level. I think we can hang on to him for a few more years. Is that possible?
Process of negotiating his next contract, and it's looking very positive.
That is good, yeah, especially since he is a triple threat now, since he added, one more orchestra to,
I'd like to add one other thing, because I don't think this is widely known. We are having a rehearsal open to students in the community, so they can come on Saturday morning and they can hear the Beethoven starting at 9:30, or if they just want to hear the Thompson piece, they can come at 11. But there's a registration required, so if anyone has connections to student groups and they'd like for them to attend, just email us at the TSO office or call us and we'll give you the link to register. And we'll be having a pizza party for all the students following it with Joel Thompson so they can meet him.
Oh, how cool. Okay, so that'll be Saturday starting at 9:30 then, but you got to register. Don't just show up.
Right, and that's sponsored by the Florida Education Association, so we're very grateful for that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys for doing that as well. Gives us a lot to look forward to, folks, and I am really hopeful that there will be additional future endeavors where you can have this entire thing with the TSO and other community-based music groups coming in conjunction with Village Square, Leon County, all the other resources we have in this community to continue these conversations in a really positive way instead of just the raw emotion where everyone gets in a room and starts growling at each other, which can be useful too, Liz. We've been doing a few of those. But you kind of want to elevate the tone of the conversation a little bit. And what better way to do it than the music of the master?
That's right.
Well, Liz did talk about Tocqueville, but Tocqueville did have some hesitancy to give us credit for being intellectual here in America. So we talked about throwing chairs, so he had a little concern about that. So I think we're
right
proving him right.
Wrong, right?
Yes, at the same time.
Yeah, so luckily the seats in Ruby Diamond are bolted to the floor. You don't have to worry about that. Mandy Stringer, the CEO of the Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra, along with board member Byron Green.
Yes.
And an esteemed member of our community council here at WFSU Public Media. Thank you so much.
Yes,
Brittany Smith,
you.
I hope you're feeling better, kiddo. I know how rough that is there. All the best to Matt Cavell and the folks back on the fifth floor of the Leon County Courthouse. Thank you for your participation. And Liz Joyner, of course, the founder of the Village Square. As always, a delight to have you part of the conversation.
It is a pleasure. Liz. Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks, for being part of our very special perspectives today, and we will see you at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall coming up next weekend. Perspectives produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Evan Rossi today and Lydell Rawls on the Interconnects. And I'm Tom Flanagan. How would you like to be a citizen scientist? Got your test tubes ready? Well, citizen science is a pillar of the Eco-Citizen Project as a way to connect with nature and help out some important research at the same time. We're going to talk about that next Thursday right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.